Plainview Elbeth Page Board of Education. I'd like to ask everybody to please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance. Susan? Before we begin, I just would like to ask for a moment of silence. We had not our school district, but there was a death by suicide from a parent from Newtown, and there were two students who died from an act of suicide, and it had to do with the Parkland killings. If we could just please have a moment of silence for them. Thank you. It's a time for parents to start to talk to the kids about what they hear, what they feel. You don't have to live in those areas for children to have absolutely spent their life. We spent Saturday at a leadership meeting, and one of the things that did come out about stress in children, mental health, starting really in our elementary buildings and how we all understand, and it's gotten too commonplace now that every meeting we have to say something or have a moment of silence about somebody. But please talk to your children. They're going to read about it. They're going to ask questions about it. Don't make it a subject that's taboo in your house. If kids can learn that they can talk to you one-on-one and you can help them or get them help, it's the most important thing we can do. Is our high school government rep here? Hi. How are you? Fine. there you go.
So spring sports just started and everything's going really smoothly. I'm on the track team, so we just started and we have our first meet tomorrow, actually. So there were a couple presentations recently for the juniors, basically the essay writing process and just helping them jumpstart their college process because it comes way sooner than you think, and I can say that with full confidence. So this past Saturday, the Community Service Club held their annual Senior Citizen Prom, and it went really well, and it was a great experience for all. And there will be a high school pre-prom meeting tomorrow at 7 p.m., and a second one will be held on April 3rd. The high school college fair is going to be on April 4th at 7 p.m., and the high school musical, Mamma Mia, that's going to be on April 11th at 4:30 p.m., the 12th at 8 p.m., and April 13th at 8 p.m. We hope to see you all there. And I also recently just had the experience to go enter the new Room to Breathe, and it was amazing. I went during my health period because my health teacher asked if any of us were interested, and I went today, 8th period, and it was such a great experience. I'm so glad that we did something like this. It's a really great opportunity for students.
Would you like to just explain for people who might not know what the Room to Breathe is all about?
So essentially it's this room where you can go, and it's kind of just like a space where you can de-stress and just, you go by yourself normally, but we were able to go in a group, and it's a secluded room and in a hallway where there's not many other classrooms, and you go inside and it's the lights are off and there's calming music and sounds in the background, and you have the school psychologist, she came in with us and she kind of explained how to, like, breathing techniques and stuff like that. It was a really wonderful experience. So I'm glad we have something like that in our school.
I'm glad you got to see it and you can explain to everybody. It's wonderful. Thank you.
No problem. Have a nice night.
We have no middle school rep. Yeah. Okay, we'll get the correction. Okay, thank you. Any board announcements? Susan?
So I was able on Sunday to attend at the local library, local author festivals. There were about 22 authors, and about half of them were Plainview Elbeth Page residents. We had the Poet Laureate, who shared a poem about Marjan. We also had a gentleman who was he's the grandson of Nathan's. So it was wonderful to see how many of our local residents are part of the literary community and how the library is interacting with the community. It was well attended, There was actually also a couple of alumni there. So it was nice to see them, too.
Thank you. Seth?
I have, an out-of-the-ordinary board announcement. It's not really an announcement per se, but it's a more of a day in history public service announcement type thing. Exactly 108 years ago today, on March 25th, 1911, there was a Triangle Shirtwaist Factory fire, for those that may remember learning about it.
Thank you.
Good catch. Whoa, on my end. I caught myself.
It's a good thing.
It was, for those that don't know, that was a fire that claimed nearly 150 lives in 15 minutes in New York City. And a vast majority of those that died were women, and particularly young women, even girls. Many were immigrants, some children of immigrants. And one reporter a few years ago was describing it, and he described it as... He described the following, quote, "They died when a fire escape collapsed. They died smashed against the doors that their bosses had locked, afraid the women might steal a few pennies worth of leftover cloth. They died leaping in desperation down elevator shafts after the cars they knew were not coming back. They died with their dresses on fire, jumping from those ninth-story windows." So some historians have argued that that fire on that day, that the day that the Triangle Shirtwaist Factory burned, was practically the beginning of the New Deal. And one young social worker that happened to be visiting a friend down in New York City that day saw these women fall and saw the deaths. And she was a young social worker, and she got incensed learning about how could working conditions, how could anybody be treated that way. That young social worker's name was Frances Perkins. Frances Perkins later became Franklin Delano Roosevelt's Secretary of Labor. She was the first female U.S. cabinet member in history. And she helped lead a lot of changes in New York, as well as at the federal government, all different laws, whether it's Social Security or Fair Labor Standards Act, which is time and leave and benefits. But one of the things that one of the many, many things that came out of that event were laws and regulations for sprinkler systems and fire alarms, multiple exits, doors that you have to open from the inside and not have to pull in as everyone was rushing to go and you get stuck. A lot of the laws that we take for granted and protections that we take for granted came out of this unfortunate tragedy. So there's a lot that could be learned about it. You could probably do a full day's lesson just in the Triangle Shirtwaist Factory fire and its effects. But I thought, since it happened today, 108 years ago, and as we talk about our budget, we talk about security, we talk about safety. See how I kind of tied it up together? You like that? When we talk about security, physical and emotional and social safety and security, sometimes a small investment today is long-term gains down the line. So when we talk about our budget and we talk about what kind of modifications we may want to do, perhaps we should consider the Triangle Shirtwaist Factory as a lesson and think to ourselves, hey, you know what? Maybe spending a little bit extra today is worth the social, emotional, physical safety, security, and well-being of not just our students, but our staff and our teachers. And so, you know, I guess that my point is, let's not nickel and dime the physical, social, emotional safety and security and prioritize it. So I know it's a little outside of the box announcement, but this day in history. So, all right.
And a little bit of history. My grandmother, as a young immigrant girl, worked across the street from the factory. And after the fire, she moved to Connecticut because she never wanted anything to do with New York again. That's a little bit of history, too.
Wow.
Anybody else?
Yeah. You know what? I just wanted to piggyback. Ginger spoke for a minute about the Leadership Summit. And the Leadership Summit is composed of teachers, administrators, parents, and board members. And each year we meet on a Saturday morning and discuss issues facing our students and our district and how we can make things better. So I just wanted to thank everybody for giving up their Saturday mornings. And joining us and having some really important discussions that important things, important changes have come about because of these in the past. So thank you.
So I'll expand a little bit on that. The processes that all of the units identify topics of interest. And then on that morning of the leadership summit, we identify which topics are important to you as an individual. And based on that, there were several topics that were chosen of interest. And then the ones that bubbled up, they all were connected around balancing social emotional needs with the academics, with the use of technology. How do we balance it all to create a healthy environment for kids and for parents and for staff? And we spent a great deal of time talking about the stresses that we place on our lives. And then eventually we ended up talking about how do we measure success? What are our measures for success here? And one of the things I introduced that topic with, and I want you to think about this. We have a grading system where 65% of it means failure. Means a lot. That means out of 100, 65 points are failure. And then we've heard loud and clear that if you got an 82, that might be considered failure. So if a 75 is not in people's mind an acceptable grade, if you think about it, we only have 20 points in our grading system that is acceptable. So we have a grading system that we say is 1 to 100. That's in and of itself placing quite a bit of stresses on our lives. So that was one of the things that came up as we talked about it. And we ran a thought exchange at the end of it. And what's bubbling up of the thought exchange is the fact that we really do need to look at how do we measure success and how do we, what is our grading system and does it support the kind of stressful environment that we currently have? And so I may be coming back to the board for trying something for next year for our fifth and sixth graders once we process that through with faculty, because I really think that we have to do something because I see fifth and sixth graders, they're actually day trading with, they're looking at the portal. That's what we're doing with kids. So that one grade changes and their GPA changes. They got actually, and I don't know that I want to promote that. So we may be coming back after we meet with parents and teachers with something quite bold for considering next year. Beginning, you know, and then discussing with the high school what we'd like to do. Because there are lots of districts now that are not doing the 1 to 100 because of this very stressful environment that we placed ourselves in. So whatever we can do to reduce that stress, I think we need to do that. And I may be coming back to the board to talk about supports for our staff, for our students, and for our parents for this budget. Because I believe mental health is a huge issue. I want to thank Jen Lott and Ellie for their for doing such a great job with the survey. We surveyed all 7th and 10th graders this year. We were bold. We were one of the only districts in New York doing it. But the information that we got from it tells us that we need to put some supports in. So we may be coming back with that.
I think there was also, we talked about technology, the media, and everything else, and what it does or doesn't do for children, and how they have become so reliant on a cell phone or something that our communicative skills are failing because of it. And how do we turn around and get everybody to understand that maybe there has to be some kind of limits on the times that are put in with it? We also talked about how we, as parents and school district and stuff, the level of meanness and frustration kids are sensing from their iPhones, the things that are coming back and forth to them. And how do we teach that? Should we have workshops for parents to come in and kids to come in where people share their stories and their outcomes? And how do we get a handle on it? Because this is also a tremendous amount of stress for some of the kids in the district. Anybody else want to comment on it? It was just wonderful. I think that we could have still been talking today if we didn't have to stop. Before we go into, pardon me? Yeah, go ahead.
I just want to say kudos to the music staff. For the second year in a row, we have been named one of the best communities in music education in the country. And we now have another award that says that. Kudos to the music staff for supporting kids on this journey. They have just returned from Disney. The marching band just returned from Disney, and they had a wonderful time. So, again, want to thank staff who gave up their time away from their families to take these kids on this wonderful journey. They actually had a conductor, a master class there, and it was a PLB student who led it, one of Glenn Rubin's students who led that. And everyone was so impressed, not just with the musicianship, but the way the students behaved. They were real gentlemen and ladies and carried themselves well. And, of course, the music was great. Even in the rain, they played. They said they were the only ones who stayed playing. I don't know if that was so wise, but anyway, they had a wonderful time, and I want to thank Mr. Rogers and the band director, Mr. Carter, and everybody who went along, including Karen Heitner, who was a principal of elementary school. She was a chaperone, and Eileen and Stephanie, they were elementary folks, but they needed more chaperones, and they went.
You yeah, could next time the board will.
Yes,
come.
Yeah. So wonderful. That's it.
Yeah,
thank
we're
you.
Going to take one item out. Please look for routine business number 7.3. It's a new appointment. Rana, Vince, Rana, just.
Do you have family coming?
They're not
yeah,
here yet?
Just hold on.
Oh, now you have to sit through this
I
whole
gave
thing.
Her time. I gave her time.
That's okay. Take back what I said. Take back what I said. Forget
never mind.
It didn't tell me. Okay, good. That's all right.
That's why I didn't.
Dr. Lewis, your superintendent's proposed budget, we're not going to go in, and Dolores, your family will love to sit and listen to us.
Yeah, all right, so we'll go into the budget.
Yep.
Okay, and with the trip to Disney, we also have to thank the support of MAPOB, and the parental support on that has been amazing. And just today we had a debriefing meeting, so that way when the trip goes again in the future, we have a good, seamless a little less stress in the organization. I think everything really worked out well, and it sounds like the students really, they're talking about the experience of playing at Disney more than being at Disney itself, which is really what we had hoped for. So we're going to run through the superintendent's proposed budget. This is the last of our budget meetings where we run through the pieces, and then we'll move into the Board of Education modification process as we move towards budget adoption on April 15th. And in this whole mess, I've lost the mouse. Thank you. We go through our meetings. We celebrate more of our keys to success, as you just celebrated, more successes of our students in our community. We are still right in the middle of our budget calendar, the last of our budget meetings before we move to budget adoption on April 15th. And there's a lot that's going to happen in the next 3 weeks, including hopefully the adoption of a state budget so we know where we are in state aid. The refinement of some more of our budget numbers, so we may see some adjustments going downwards as we get more firm numbers on things on insurance and things like that that we'll be moving through in this part of the budget. So April 15th will be a big meeting. At the last meeting, we spent a good deal of time on staffing and class sizes. A little bit later, we'll be looking at tallies. We continue to grapple with threats to revenue. We do spend a lot of time talking about the expense side of the budget. Meanwhile, we have to balance it with the revenue. We know this is the last year we received Beechwood payments. We know there's a big battle for state aid going on in Albany with concerns over the revenue at the state level. We continue to hear news about the county reassessment. People are getting their tax returns, and we're hearing the effects of the new tax law. and we continue to receive notifications that businesses are looking for tax breaks to start and expand businesses, which is good. However, that has an adverse effect on our tax base. Our statewide tax cap this year is 2%. We'll talk about that a little bit later. The proposed budget carries a budget-to-budget increase of 2.36% and a proposed tax levy of 1.99%. The budget can be broken up into three parts. The largest part is program. That's the part that directly supports student instruction. And as we look at the budget drivers, the things that we'll be focusing on today really are the top part of this chart, our staffing and associated payroll costs, and also debt service, which accounts for a much smaller part of our budget, about 3.2%. However, it does have a big, in the last couple of years, it has had a big impact on the decisions we make budgetarily so we can continue to support our educational programs. Looking at our budget in terms of a donut, salary and related fringe benefits take up over 75% of the pie, and then everything else kind of takes up this 9 to 11 o'clock position until we get right up here, this roughly $10 million piece of the budget, which makes the Plainview Old Beth Page educational experience special. And we hear about those things at every meeting, whether it's reported by our high school and middle school student representatives or our JJP student rep, and also through the activities and awards that our students are involved in. We continue to strive to increase the success rate of our students and give them opportunities to meet their educational goals and also their personal aspirations. The proposed budget supports an equitable distribution of resources based on student and school need and also school enrollment, a continued focus on student safety and security, and a supportive learning environment, and an education that provides access to the academics, arts, and athletics for all students. We've gone through our program parts of the budget, particularly with the principals. We discussed how we're supporting the social-emotional growth at all levels, and also the academic opportunities at the elementary, the middle school, and the high school. We also talked about facility improvements. We'll discuss that a little bit more today when we get into the transfer to capital and Proposition 2, capital reserve, and also talk about safety and security. As Mr. Greenberg alluded to, there's a piece of that in this proposed budget as well. The board, several board meetings ago, authorized a Proposition 2 to expend up to $4.5 million out of the capital reserve. We'll go through this as part of tonight's presentation, replacing fire alarms and emergency generators in our buildings. And after budget adoption, we will have a series of community presentations to inform our community about the budget. Here is the schedule. We hope you hit the roadshow with us. But we're all gearing towards Tuesday, May 21st. We have two voting sites rather than three, which we do have index cards or cards going out to voters. They're in the process of being printed and mailed now to let voters know that if they go to JJP, Pasadena, or their kids track to POB Middle School, their voting location is Jamaica, or if their students track to OB, Stratford Road in Pasadena, and POB Middle School, go to Pasadena. Thank you, Dr. Molieri. And OB, Judy Jacobs, and Matlin Middle School will vote right here in the atria. Yes.
What are we doing for our population that does not have school-age children?
We're mailing index cards to everybody, all voters. Mm-hmm. English and Spanish. Okay. And with that, we will move on to our next part of the presentation. One thing I would like to do is follow up on questions that came up at the last budget meeting. Just quickly summarizing, one of the questions was, in Judy Jacobs' 2110-590 code, did we have to add more detail? The answer was no. That code is for equipment for less than $1,000, and the actual line item says flexible furniture, ottomans, Neo-Rock stools, beanbags. So our auditors felt that's specific enough. There was another question about what is the difference between code 2110-405-3542 and 2850-505-3542. Those are both high school music codes. And the real question was, are we budgeting for the same thing twice? The answer is no. 2110-405 is for entry fees into various musical adjudication and competitions for students, and also an allotment for chaperone expenses for those events. 2850-505 is an itemized list of district memberships to the various musical organizations. All right, so one is for going to the events, the other is for the district's membership for the organizations. What is the difference between 2850-430-3562 and 2850-590-3562? Both of those budget codes are high school research codes. 2850-430 is used for entry fees for the Science Olympiad, First Lego League, etc. And 2850-590 is for materials and supplies, such as replacement robots and supplies. Are there any other things that I need to follow up on? Nope. Okay. Let's see if we can get out of this. Okay, so this portion of the budget goes through the 9,000 section of the budget, which is really the last section, except for some small portions, such as centralized printing and mailing, BOCES data processing. We do have some small chunks in there, but the majority of this is what we call interfund transfers. But on this, on the first slide, central printing and mailing, in our budget review, we did find an error in our budget here, and we can find it right here in the upper right-hand corner, right, in that in budget code 1670-468, central printing services, there is no budgetary allocation, right? So we are in the process of evaluating what we need to recommend to the board on that. This is the budget code we use to print our district newsletters, student agendas, and other things that either are used by many students or are mailed home. So we'll be developing a recommendation on that. Knowing that we're now printing things in English and Spanish, there are some things that do come out of this code, so we're thinking that our recommendation will be about the same number, but we'll be providing that recommendation to the board by the end of the week. BOCES printing services, we do use that in small numbers. You can see that in 17-18, our actual expenditure started going down. It's a very small allocation, so we kept that allocation the same. BOCES data processing. This is a rather large budget code. It supports things such as bold election services, Infinite Campus, which is something that all students and staff use, and any of those really support pieces that are used to support district management and operations. So we have seen in the past few years, if you go back to 16-17 actual, we were spending about $580,000 out of there. We did see an uptick in that, going into 18-19, our allocation went up to $854,000. Now we're scaling back about $60,000. But what you're seeing is the effect of moving some of our things from district-hosted services to off-site services through BOCES for backup and redundancy. So we're seeing a reduction in other parts of our budget where we no longer are buying the servers and maintaining them, but meanwhile we're using those servers and backup services offsite. Do you have any questions on that? Okay. The next page has to do with insurance. We do keep a small allocation for equipment loss. Certain piece of our insurance policies have a small deductible for equipment loss, so we do have a small $5,000 allocation there. You can see that in the next budget code, unallocated insurance, that's our general liability and property insurance. Our claims experience has stayed pretty stable, even though we have seen property and casualty losses related to weather high, and some other places. Plainview's experience has been fairly stable, so we're getting a pretty stable rate on that. Student accident insurance, we do have a policy. It's not required that school districts have it, but we do have it for our parents to tap into if there is a case of injury, and it supplements or it's secondary to a family's insurance. The rest of the allocation is just about the same. The BOCES Administrative Services down at the bottom right-hand corner comes directly from BOCES. That is their annual charge to our district for BOCES administration, rent, and capital projects, and that is best based on our resident-weighted average daily attendance in Nassau County. Question?
Before you move on to employee benefits. Under the equipment loss, now we've talked about this in previous meetings, the Chromebook insurance. Does that fall into this category, or is that something that would fall into the buildings?
We started doing our, and jump in on this, Dr. Molier, if you like, but we started doing our equipment repair through BOCES.
Okay.
So we are seeing a lower charge for their repairs. That is in a BOCES code. So, no, this would not fall into
so
that piece.
So Chromebooks wouldn't fall into this particular
right.
line.
Maybe
someplace else. It would be part of the one above in the BOCES in that central services?
I have to find the right piece of code that will, and I can.
That was in that.
Right.
Will be in
I can get the exact budget code, but that $5,000 charge would be, let's say, we have a tractor, all right, and our tractor
not
becomes damaged.
Like
so
a
it's
calculator
no,
or a
nope,
Chromebook or
no.
anything like that. Okay.
Okay, going to the next slide. This is where we have our payroll-related expenses. A lot of these are calculated off of the rate set by New York State and prorated against our projected payroll. The first line, 9010810, is for the employee retirement system. You can see that we're seeing an upward trend there. It has not experienced the decrease that the teacher retirement system has had, and it's essentially staying stable where we are seeing some growth in our clerical and custodial salaries just simply through experience or seniority. That budget code has a revenue side to it where we draw from the ERS reserve to balance that expense. There is a reserve for that particular expense. The next code down, teacher retirement system. Newsday has written several times about this, that the TRS rate has been decreasing. And you can see a pretty good decrease there from the previous year of roughly $750,000, which is giving us some relief. We do have concerns going into future fiscal years as the stock market throttles down. TRS rate tends to go up. We have seen also some stabilization there because of retirements since that's driven off of payroll. As we see retirements and our payroll levels out, then we would see that cost level out as well since it's tied to payroll. Social Security is a straight math equation. Social Security, FICA, and Medicare rate multiplied times projected payroll. There is a cap on FICA contributions that is included in that calculation, so there's a ceiling on it. Workers' compensation is an area we've been looking at because of changes in the workers' compensation law. when somebody does get a work-related injury, they are getting a larger workers' comp payment through legislation. We have been working to stabilize and actually decrease our claims experience. We had a very good past calendar year, so we are seeing some moderation in that because we had been seeing a good amount of growth in our workers' compensation line. So we were happy to see that there wasn't much growth in that workers' compensation appropriation recommended for next year. Unemployment insurance. We did a bit of, you can see there's a $40,000 decrease there. And what we did is a trend analysis and also looked at how many people could potentially claim unemployment going into next year. So we recommend a decrease in that code. Any questions on that particular page? Okay. The next code is something we obviously talk about often. Health insurance and Medicare reimbursement. There are a lot of things that go into this code. Everybody is experiencing large increases in health insurance premiums. But going into 1920, you can see a slight increase going from about $16.6 million to $16.9, almost $17 million, which is the smallest growth we've seen in years, in part because our insurers have increased the copays for those who are on the plan. So rather than shift the cost to the institutions, it's been shifted to the employees. So hopefully we see some moderation in that for a year. We do know that those that are insured are concerned about that, and we're curious to see what rate the insurers come out with during the 2020 fiscal year, which will be the second half of next year. So we went with a reasonable estimate, and that is our recommendation for health insurance. So a small increase going into 1920. District-wide welfare benefits are contractual costs. We do a projection on costs based on actual employees and how much the contracts require us to pay for each of those employees into the welfare plan. Any questions on that page? A lot of changes on this page. This page has to do with debt service. So during the 17-18 and 18-19 year, the district had gone out for bond anticipation notes once we started construction on the 2014 bond. You can see going into 2019-20, we no longer have that. However, we did go out for a $40 million bond. We'll see how that rolls into the budget a little bit further onto the next page. We still recommend keeping an allocation for a tax anticipation note. That is an amount for a short-term borrowing in case tax receipts from Nassau County are late or we have a squeeze in cash flow due to delayed state aid payments or other revenue sources. 18-19 was the last year of our payments on the energy performance contract, so you can see that there are no payments projected for 19-20. That project was completed in the year 2000, and we just finished it off 18 years later in 2018. Any questions on that page? All right, so you can see there is a over $1.6 million swing on that page. Okay. However, it flows onto this page. There were some changes in school lunch. You'll see a decrease in appropriation for school lunch. Last year, as you know, our lunch fund was running in the black, which is great. We still see that we're moving in a positive direction there. There were some changes in the federal regulations regarding how we account for the lunch fund, and the general fund does have to have an appropriation to be used to write off debts that we consider uncollectible. So at least once a year, we have to go through the process. We've already done it twice this year to determine which pieces of past amounts due could not be collected. Then the general fund has to pay the cafeteria fund. The next code, 9901-950, is used to support expenses passed on to us. And this is a rough amount we hear about. Districts pay about 20% of certain summer special education programs. The actual percentage is higher when you crank through the math. However, you can see that our actual experience has remained fairly stable. So we recommend doing the same thing going into 1920. The next two lines, there are significant changes in both the debt service principal and interest payments due because we went out for the $40 million bond, and we expect to go out for another $10 million in October 2019. Those actual debt service schedules and the projected debt service schedule for that $10 million piece are in these two lines, the $3.5 million and the $1.6 million. Any questions there? The last code was actually covered when Mr. Ward was here to do facilities. That's transfer to capital. We talked about the improvements at POB Middle School, along with several other initiatives that would be funded out of that transfer to the capital fund. With that, are there any questions? All right. Okay, and I can feel the energy in the room, so I will keep on going with the revenue budget. Now, I know this came out really small, so I'm going to pull this up on an Excel spreadsheet that I can make a little bit larger. All right, let's see what we can do here. Okay, so I'll go through this in chunks, and on the actual written page, there's some arrows here, but I'll be able to talk you through it. The top part of our revenue budget, and all of this balances the expenditure budget, which we have now gone through. The top part has to do with state aid, and this these numbers came out of the executive budget proposal that came out in the beginning of January, and we had to make some adjustments to it. In the foundation and other section, the governor's budget proposal projected a number higher than this $18.1 million. But in our analysis, we saw that they projected too high on transportation aid. So when the legislative budget or the final budget comes out, we're expecting to see the transportation aid budget come down. Now, there is some piece that is boosting our transportation aid number. Our transportation aid ratio has actually gone up over past years. That's good. That means we're getting a higher portion of our expense back. However, the number that the governor based their aid run on, which is, it was too high, so we lowered that. The building aid, we also went through to see if we were going to get all that building aid. The building aid is projected off of all of the final cost reports plus any projects that the state knows about, but we only get the aid after the project is done and we file the final cost report. So we have to go through the projects and determine which ones are going to be done by the beginning of 2019. And if they're done, well, we have all the paperwork from all the contractors, the architects, in order to claim the aid. So this number is reduced off of what is on the governor's state aid run and what will also come out of the legislative aid run, because we know there projects we will not be claiming aid on in 1920. That will become deferred aid in 2021. We went through other revenue pieces, including continual education. We looked for reasonableness, made some changes. For instance, right in the middle, you see interest and earnings. We went back and did evaluation and then worked with our bankers to try and estimate what we're going to be making on our accounts. We're now making much more than we did in the beginning of the 2017-28 fiscal year, and that reflects accordingly. We plugged in the actual rental agreements for rental district property. We also analyzed our payment or pilot schedules and increased that accordingly. You'll notice that there is a zero next to Beechwood funds because we will no longer be getting Beechwood money.
So thank you for putting this together. Appreciate that because I know sometimes it's difficult to read just an expense-only budget. So starting with the pilots, the payment in lieu of taxes, aren't we trying to fight the Capital Seniors project that's being proposed? That's just came up in the news for the Marriott property. Why would we?
This number, this $4.1 million, is the schedule from the pilots that already exist.
Oh, okay.
Plus LIPA pilot.
I'm sorry, I misunderstood you on that.
Realistically, we've fought every single pilot. Since I've been on the board, we have fought every single pilot that was applied for, and we never win.
No, I know that. Yeah. But this time we also have a legislator on our side. And
We've always had legislators on. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, okay. And then when you say accounts bearing interest, can we be more specific for the public? Because that they know that we have – when you say these are from our –
You're talking about interest and earnings. Mm-hmm. Our money market funds, general savings account, general operating, you know, our payroll accounts where we have higher rates of transactions. They'll earn a lower interest rate because of the number of transactions. However, all of those are earning more interest than they did a couple of years ago as the Fed continues to increase rates, or at least they were increasing rates. So really it's based – those rates of return are based on market experience.
Okay, thank you.
Going down to the bottom, you can see that we have a higher reliance this year on fund balance and reserves, mostly due to the revenue hole caused by the last Beechwood payment. So you can see that we increased appropriated fund balance by almost $1.3 million. Our appropriation from the ERS reserve is increasing $515,000. The EBLR reserve is increasing by a quarter of a million. So our total use of reserves went up about $2 million, where Beechwood went down $2 million. And with that, you can see that we come up with a property tax levy increase of 1.99% to balance our 2.36% increase in the budget, the expenditure budget. Questions? All right, I think we're moving to tallies. I'll just line it up for you.
So do you want to go over the tax levy limit and the, what our levy is?
No, I got it. Oh, and we have the capital reserve presentation, don't we? Okay. All right. So our the tax levy limit, including exemptions, is 3.45%. The proposed tax levy is 1.99%. That is about $1.8 million below our allowable levy. So as said in other meetings, this is money that would go unclaimed in future years because next year's tax levy is based on the current year's tax levy. Any discussion on that?
I just want to also clarify for the public about the Beechwood and the real tax levy numbers, where we talked in other meetings earlier that there's no magic money coming from sales on the Beechwood properties that are being closed right now. That, you know, that is there's nothing going to be found. There's not going to be any money brought into the pie. This, hopefully, once everything is settled with Nassau County assessments, that property will reduce everybody's piece of the pie. There won't be extra money coming in like we had cash coming in from the developer prior to this.
It's just one more person.
Exactly. I just want to make sure that is discussed publicly, that, you know, that is the benefit of the project.
It's not a question on this, but throughout the budget meetings, there there may be issues or topics or areas that we want to modify, when would be the appropriate time to ask for potential modifications? Yeah.
Well, actually, the next meeting is budget adoption.
That's right.
April 15th.
So is in the 15th. So right. So if we want things to be costed out between now and then, we should identify potential areas now to give you time to put it on a modifications list. And when would the appropriate time in this meeting be to ask for things to be explored?
Yeah, after 3.5.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So the board, a couple of meetings ago, authorized adding this proposition to the ballot. Proposition 2, authorization to expend from the capital reserve, just a brief presentation on it to look at it in this form. Authorization to expend up to $4.5 million from the 2017 capital reserve to replace fire alarms at Old Bethpage, Judy Jacobs, Pasadena, Stratford, Matlin, and POB Middle School. The high school is not on this list because the high school's fire alarm was replaced earlier this year. All right, so they have a completely new fire alarm with carbon monoxide detectors. And also the replacement of emergency generators at Old Beth, Judy Jacobs, Pasadena, Stratford, and Matlin. POB Middle School isn't on this list because it already has an emergency generator the install was finished about 3 years ago. And the high school's emergency generator is already funded. Okay, however, the project is not yet up in Albany. Okay, but it's funded.
But I have a question. Mm-hmm.
The budget is based on comparable generators for Old Beth, Judy Jacobs, and Pasadena, slightly larger at Stratford. And then Matlin's would be about equivalent to the high school, what's planned at the high school and POB Middle School.
Can you just tell us briefly what those generators would do if there were a blackout?
Can I call upon Mr. Ward to help with that?
Good evening. The new generators we are planning will be similar to POB Middle School, where we designate areas, large group areas, where we will light up the lights, the emergency egresses. Could be the cafeteria, the gyms in particular, in case there's an emergency and that requires everybody to shelter in place. In addition, they'll be lighting up stairwells, any emergency lights in the building, fire alarm systems, boiler system, typically some of the IT department's equipment for the building so they can operate at a certain capacity, as well as some security features we're going to be incorporating, such as the doors and the swiping card systems for certain doors and such. We haven't yet decided. But everything that would make it life safety for the persons in the building, so they have areas that they can either leave the building or stay and shelter in place in case they have to stay for a little while. I'm sorry. Also kitchen equipment, so we don't lose any food in there. I'm trying to remember off the top of my head, but things such as that.
Is POB Middle School still an American Red Cross shelter?
Yes, it is.
Is any other building designated?
None other one is designated. POB Middle also has the trailer in the back that American Red Cross has placed there, so they have supplies there in the case of emergency. They come by periodically, and they go in there and make sure everything is fresh.
Right. So POB Middle School could also be held holding residents besides just schools?
Absolutely, yes.
After Sandy, you made sure of that.
Okay, thank you.
Would there ever be the possibility of another building having the same? Because if we had a total blackout in the community, there'll be middle school, never hold, be not
Yeah, something on the level of a Sandy that impacted the area. We could broach it with the American Red Cross, and they may be interested or not. But
we should just see maybe they would, because I think that way, you know, if there's no power and stuff, getting to where
absolutely. Absolutely. Like Old Bethpage is south. Mm-hmm. We got the high school area. So we can broach that.
Do remember, though, before we do that, I recall during Sandy when they needed POB Middle School, when we were up and running as a school, the shelter still was running.
Yeah.
So I am a little bit hesitant to open up another facility, because that means that school will be on when the shelters are on, and they command that. So they will use that space whether school is open or not.
Yeah, they'll push on. They'll push on.
But my concern is that we did have an ice storm once where our area had days and days and days without any power. You didn't want to drive across Minetto Hill because you could have gotten killed. The traffic lights were out. And for safety reasons, you know, your alarm systems were all off and everything else, I think that it wouldn't be a terrible thing. Doesn't mean you're going. It's just a balance. It's too many people go except to go to Debbie's house.
Right, I have a generator. At that time, were schools open?
No. Nothing.
I remember that.
Nothing. We were completely shut down for about a week.
It was a very
terrible time. Yeah.
It was late 70s.
But I know during Sandy, once we were up and running, they needed because the residents didn't have their homes up. They required that we run the gym, so we had to find other alternatives for the kids. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Thank you.
Just some history on this reserve. It was the funding was approved on May 16, 2017, for up to $25 million. Sources for the reserve include Beechwood funds, unexpended appropriations, and excess or unexpected revenues. This proposition seeks the approval of $4.5 million from this capital reserve. As of June 30th of last year, the reserve had accumulated $12 million in funds, and in May 2018, voters authorized the appropriation of $4.6 million for the reconstruction of entry vestibules. Those projects are finally about to go up to Albany. There have been a long review process on that. Air conditioning for Stratford Road and Matlin Middle School, technology labs and music rooms, and roof replacements at Judy Jacobs Parkway in Pasadena. If voters approve this reserve expenditure on May 21st, the authorized appropriations will equal $9.1 million.
Any questions?
Not a question, more of make sure my math is right. Mm-hmm. So we can put an additional $13 million still.
Mm-hmm.
And of that $12 million that has already been accumulated, we still have $2.9 left.
Yes.
And any time we take out, no matter where we put it in, we still have to put it out for a vote each
That's
time.
Correct. Other questions?
Yep.
Okay. Moving on to tallies.
Okay, so tonight we're going to talk about staffing and tallies. Being in the last presentation, I had the benefit of using all my pictures from the Disney trip. So you're going to see a lot of Magic Kingdom stuff coming through the presentation. Just a general overview. We're going to do enrollment projections. We'll look at the K-4 middle school and high school overviews, overview of special ed staffing, a district overview, and then a summary of the needs. So when we look at our enrollment projections, we have two pieces of data. The actual enrollment is from a benchmark, which is Beds Day, which is the first Wednesday in October every year. That's the enrollment. If you remember last week when we did class size, you can take a benchmark at different points and have slightly different numbers. But we report on Beds Day what our enrollment is, and we go Beds Day to Beds Day as our reported state enrollment. So that's why the actual is always Beds Day. our projected enrollment this year is the BOCES projections, which is what we just had done from BOCES demographics. They came and reported a couple months ago, and we're using those because it's in the first year of that demographic study and tends to be the most accurate. The further out you go, the less accurate those studies become. But since it's in year one, we're using those. So you'll notice an overall change projected from our beds day enrollment to next year of 75 students district-wide and broken out 12 at the K-4, 29 at the middle, and 34 at the high school level. When we look at the beds day enrollment versus the BOCES projections by building, you'll see it broken out on the elementary level the way you see it there. And on the bottom, you can see year-to-year from building to building, such as Old Bethpage has 397 as of beds day, and BOCES projections at 408. And you'll see that JJP is relatively the same. Pasadena, interestingly enough, coming in identical. And Stratford Road coming in around the same also. Now, if you look at 88 under Pasadena kindergarten first grade, just keep that number in mind for a second, because if you look over the actual enrollment of 88, it says 93 in second grade for the projected. If you just did a rollover, you would bring it down to 88, saying we have 88 now. We'd roll it over. It would be 88. BOCES is projecting 93. As we get to the next slide, you'll see why I'm pointing that out. It's just one example. I'm sorry, when you get to the different thing. So here's your middle school enrollment, Matlin, POB, and the high school. You can see your pluses and minuses based on the actual enrollment of beds and the projected enrollment for next year. And now when we look at projections, we look at our 88, if you will, in that Pasadena in first grade. You have four classes of an average of 22. If you look at your class sizes, all from beds day, you can see where we're at. And you can see your averages. If there are any questions along the way, please just stop me. We've gone through some of this already throughout the presentation, so I am going quickly. Now, when you look at your projections, that second grade I've highlighted in a rose color, 93 with 4 is 23.25. We've highlighted it in a rose color because now it's approaching the guidelines for that the board set for grades K through 2. On a rollover, 88 by 4 is 22. The projection has 93. So we're using this, and we're monitoring that very closely, as we would for the two in blue, which are on the low end of the BOCES of the board guidelines, and we'll monitor those also. Yes, Debbie.
Vince, I just wanted to point out that JJP in first grade should also be highlighted in the rose color.
Yeah.
Because so what we've done in years past is when it hits that one full body below the guideline of 24, if it was at 23, I'm sorry. Here, I got you over here. All right, I'm sorry over here. Yeah, I see what you're saying. Okay, we can point that out. If you go back to the other one, you'll see that number is actually lower too.
Right.
So you kind of look at it, but we will highlight that so we have that.
Thank you.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And just when we look at Stratford Road, then you look at the enrollment, the ABA self-contained, is that enrollment exclusive or inclusive of that of the numbers?
So
is that total and then broken down, or is it 96 plus 11?
So for the enrollment, it's separated out as 287 plus 49, if you will. For the class size, it's just the gen ed enrollment divided by the number.
Oh, so the 287.
49.
The 487.
487 is the gen ed population. The total population of the building is those two numbers together.
47 plus
49. Right.
Okay. Right. Yeah. And so when we...
When you push them in, the 11 pushes in.
Right. So when we look... so we're looking at JJP, and we're looking at Pasadena, given the current data projections that we're looking at now. Mm-hmm. You have first grade in JJP that we're monitoring, mm-hmm. Pasadena in second grade that we're monitoring. Obviously... changes happen. That's why we do it. Look at these numbers all the time,
mm-hmm.
including into the summertime before any final decisions are made. But, you know,
right now.
I just, so here's, and I know we said we're going to wait until after we do this.
It's okay. I know.
But I'm just going to, I know when we talk about including breakages of additional staff, and we normally built in some. We know already that we're going to have additional sections in next year without these
correct.
Two.
Right. We used two of – we began with four. We've used two.
We're already saying that we're going to use two of the four breakages, right? So what I'd like to see is maybe in the modifications add an additional two. We'll see what each – the value, you know, the cost of
right.
each – one is, but I'm thinking perhaps we need to add an additional two since we're already saying we're going to use two out of the four that we were discussing.
Yeah, and that'll be on a future slide there. But you do have to monitor these things. So the current kindergarten as of beds day is 83. So if you were rolling over that beds day data, you're at 83 with four sections as opposed to 93 with the BOCES. So somewhere in there, you're going to fall. It's a matter of where you're at and how close
right.
you're
I just,
and you can't predict it, and as we've seen right. in the
we
summers
just,
the last
we also don't
want to
be cut short, right?
Absolutely.
We want to have the security that yeah. we have. If we have to cut a class, yeah. there's right. money
sure.
there just to do it.
Mm-hmm. Any other questions? Okay. So the K-4 overview, the staffing that's provided right now maintains all current programs and services, maintains class size, adheres to board guidelines, maintains faculty and staff, net neutral at Stratford and Old Beth. We're adding a section at JJP, two sections at Pasadena. We're adding a math coach on the elementary level. We're monitoring the kindergarten and the Stratford Road enrollment, as we always do, because that's somewhat of a wild card for us. Special education is overall down 1.5 FTEs, but we are still working through our CSEs and our annual review. So we will monitor our ICT placements, our ABA needs, and all our special class needs at Stratford Road. We maintain all of our XR programs, reading teachers, therapists, and so on, all our push-on services get maintained. Just another way of looking where we're at here, the number of sections, how many sections are in each grade level, the average class sizes. I threw a current, what they are, the projected versus the current in here, and the number of ICT classes per grade level. Ms. Becker did tell me this morning that we probably will add an ICTK at Judy Jacobs next year. There will be no impact to staffing as we can cover it internally right now. So that will change slightly as we go through this process. When we look at the middle school overview, you'll see the actuals next to the projected by building. If you look at the projected based on the sections given, you'll see that there was a slight decrease overall in class size at Matlin. At POB Middle School, they're maintaining or it's slightly reducing class sizes, too, with the number of sections. So there's a nice balance between the two buildings, and we've addressed any concerns with regard to class sizes being too large on one side of town as opposed to the other. The staffing differences between them, BOCES is projecting 24 more students at POB and 4 more students at Matlin next year. We do have some changes, pieces, as you see listed there. At Matlin, there is an additional fifth grade section because they're going from 178 to 190 students, which required us to break a section to maintain class size. So that had to happen. We're over at POB Middle School, we're adding world language, psychologist, dean, social studies classes. Now, these are pluses to the building, if you will, but it doesn't take into account shifts in where we have lower enrollment. We may need to move an English teacher. We're not increasing any staff or anything that way, but we may be shifting other staff members to cover needs.
Also, one of the things that we're committing to is not sharing staff who are or teaching Regents-level courses, so that will have some impact, some minor impact, on staffing, because we want to make sure if you're teaching Regents, Earth Science and Algebra, that you're not split in the buildings. Because, again, we learn as we go along. And the same thing with the high school. We had a social studies teacher who was going to be split. She's an 11th grade teacher. We want to keep her in the building to be available for remediation. Parents have made us aware of that. And we are committing to that. So that might eat up a little bit of staffing. It's accounted for in our budgeting. Mm-hmm.
Do we currently have a dean at POB Middle School?
We do. We have a dean as a 0.4 level.
Okay.
So we're going to go to a 0.6 level on the dean there to
help
with
that. What are the responsibilities?
They're working with attendance, and they'll assist the assistant principals on any investigations and help with any disciplinary matters that way. They work with the APs for that, but on their own, it's the attendance pieces. And
Thank you.
Going to help offload some of the guidance burden, because some of the grade levels have gotten particularly big, like this year, the sixth grade guidance counselor has a very large class.
They're not picking up any guidance load, but they're picking up some of the administrative tasks that allow the administrators to do other things and get engaged with the
What is the plan then for the guidance load? Because we had discussed this during
the offload is the fact that we're adding a 0.5 psychologist to the building. So POB Middle School will have a 0.5 more psychology. That's a real offload. Social emotional.
Okay. Is the dean limited to A grade, or is it for the four?
All grades.
We have a dean at the high school as well.
Right.
And again, attendance issues. Those. It's really a support for the APs more. You know, so they're not attending to that as much, and they're available for more instructional as well as academic support.
So the high school overview is probably the easiest of my 5 years here so far. The staffing really shifts a little bit, but your pluses and minuses is a minus 0.2 overall. You'll see the areas that are adjusted up there in art, social studies, and special education. And they're anticipated to grow by 34 students spread out over the grade, so it wasn't one big impact on one grade.
This includes the Twilight program?
No, this is not inclusive of the Twilight program. And that's our orchestra. The budget does, but it's not in here, no. Special education, when you start adding everything in across the board, they're a minus 0.9 overall, but we maintain all of our services, behavioral consultants, speech teachers. We had a retirement that we do not need to replace, so we are not replacing that person. But our OTs, PTs, psychologists is increased by 0.5 that you saw on the previous slide. Our social workers and our nurses all maintain as we are now.
Can I ask a question about that? Do you feel we are appropriately staffed in that area?
So it's what I was speaking to at the beginning. I have not had, I've just been really coming to realize some need for more emotional support for not only students but staff. And I haven't yet spoken to the PPS or building principals. I'm going to have that conversation tomorrow. I may be coming back to the board with an ask, because I really do believe that I'm looking at what's going on nationally. I'm looking at the trends. I'm looking at the things that are bubbling up on Go Guardian and all the other things, and I think that we may need to come back with a modification.
Yeah, and we discussed this on Saturday also, the importance of a mental health person.
It's coming from our discussions, but I really haven't processed it with the appropriate staff before I can say so.
So I just want to point out here, of course, this is all pending the final annual reviews and CSCs, which are ongoing. So when you look at this slide, this tells us a number of different things. What it doesn't tell you are where all the moving pieces are, because this slide is about how much additional staff we need, not who's moving where, not that there's a decrease at Matlin in one area and an increase at POB in another area. This is just about the bodies that we may need going forward. And if you look at our top line here, our breakage positions, they are not calculated into our bottom line at all. So when you see this, you only got 0.63 here, but obviously there's a 2 in Pasadena up here, because that's breakage positions that were originally budgeted for. We've taken 2 of those to split those 2 classes at Pasadena. So that's why it's listed that way, because it was taken from there. So when you look at your pluses and minuses, that's not going to be in there, but you can see there are little pieces everywhere. This is an interesting piece here. Our ENL is a full body increase in English native language. If you recall, last year we came to you with a 5.4 need. By the time we got to around the 15th of September, that 0.4 was full time. As we project forward and we look at the students' needs of those that have been already enrolled this year for next year, and where we anticipate them being in terms of service needs based on Part 154, We are going to need a whole nother E&L person to cover those classes.
Yeah, you have to remember, we did this budget in November. And in November, we look at our needs. And now, as we look at, particularly over the holiday break, what the migration rates have been, both in special ed and ICL and in E&L, we just, I think, as we plan for the next budget, 2021, we have to really start looking at our migration rates and our migration patterns. Because, first of all, we have an outstanding special ed department, so people are moving in. They literally are moving in right. for our special ed programs, unanticipated. So, you know, I'm getting a little bit nervous about, you know, where we are staffing-wise. Right. And so I will definitely have to come to you with an ask.
Okay. Ginger, can I ask that we receive a building-by-building spreadsheet of the staff in each building? And not by name, but...
FTEs.
Right.
I can get that to you.
For each category. Thank you.
Going back to Seth's request about the two additional breakage, as we go through this and I'm hearing things, I don't know if maybe we have to consider even one more, as you're talking about the special needs. Yeah. I'm just seeing that right now we're skating on very thin ice. And our population, we don't know. People are moving out of their homes. See a lot of homes for sale. We don't know who's coming in. We don't know who's moving out. But the one thing we know is we have to have those breakage positions, because we can't be in a position in September to say we can't break any more classes. So maybe, yes, Seth.
All right, so just talking about additional breakages, we're talking about potentially mental health professional. We're talking about additional, maybe additional E&L or...
Which would go on
which
to
be part of breakages. So, but
the E&L is we have that worked into the 3.5 that's on the bottom.
I know, but I thought what we're talking about is exploring, not getting stuck with the need.
If there's more going down the road, yes.
Right. And while we're on looking at modifications, potential modifications, one of the things, and I know I wasn't able to attend. Last Tuesday's budget meeting, but I did look at the material and listen to the presentations. Probably, I think I was the one out of only two people that may have listened to the audio feed from last week. But we heard the principals talk about staffing issues. You know, we heard from Ms. Heitner in terms of Pasadena. We know we've had our conversations about our middle school enrollment challenge. And what I just want to make sure about, it's something that we've spoken about, and I know it's like a broken record since then, but the board made a decision about how it wants to tackle our enrollment challenges, and it made a decision of how it doesn't want to tackle the enrollment challenges. That was a decision. But once the decision was made, practically that means we have to expend additional resources. And so I just want to make sure, you know, if we have an opportunity to still do it in a fiscally responsible way by adding a spot, you know, adding space or repurposing space, let's maybe get a sense of what an additional classroom might cost, or additional space at a building. I know going back 5 years, we started talking about this as part of the bond and we had it included. You know, maybe we don't do it, but at least maybe let's cost it out and see what it is. Because I don't want to be caught shorthanded that in a year from now we're struggling to figure out
Pasadena.
Where. Yeah, Pasadena, yeah. POB Middle School. Look, we're doing two classrooms at Old Beth, you know, so, you know, and the whole idea is to maintain our class sizes, maintain the programs and services, and not have to reexamine those things and what's the most efficient way to do it. So maybe we could add that as well.
Looking down the road, in order to accommodate 5 kindergarten classes at Pasadena, we've removed the music room. You know, it was an original
which kindergarten I have to say class. Makes me feel very uncomfortable.
Me too.
No, well, it was the original kindergarten room. So we went back. So we removed
where...
We don't
have a music
room. No, we have a music room, but where the music room is now...
Okay.
We removed, it was a fabulous big room with bathroom and everything. So we've now placed it back in where it was before. But I think down the road, we need to look at adding two classrooms at Pasadena. Not for this year, because we have the room for this year. But should we have to add five sections on every grade level, which right now we have five on three grade levels,
next year,
we really would be pushing it. So I would think that you would want to plan ahead. If you maintain your current lines, the BOCES projection clearly shows 2023 is going to be a problem. And so I would think that in 2023, you would need to have two classrooms at Pasadena.
It amazes me how the population of that building has exploded. I mean, my son has not been out that long. He's in eighth grade now. But when he entered in first grade, there were three grade levels with four sections and one grade level.
Now you have three fives.
Three fives
and two fours.
Five,
correct. So it's a fact that both Stratford Road and Pasadena are blue. Stratford Road has a room. So I would think that planning ahead for 2023, you would add two rooms. And the rooms you would add would be a proper music room and a proper art room, because the kindergarten rooms need bathrooms. The kindergartners need bathrooms. And so returning that room that is now the music room to a kindergarten room is not a major issue. It's a line.
So I think we just want to make sure facility-wise and staffing-wise that we are going in the direction that we said we would go into, which is one of the reasons I want to see the staff breakdown.
I think also with regard to what Seth said, we know how long it takes to get approval from the state ed department. And so that even if you were to start to have the dialogue now, it could take them 17 months. I don't know how long did it take for Beth Page?
2 years.
By that time already.
You're going to award that project tonight.
So that I think that.
And you fast track that one.
I agree with Seth. Yeah. Susan?
Well, I have no problem exploring the costs and everything, but I think there's we need to discuss if there's room at another building, Stratford Road or someplace else in the district, before we expend hundreds of thousands of dollars, because we know how much it costs to build at least a one room, and Old Beth Page was $250,000. I know what you're going to go back to. We had the conversation with the zoning, but we're talking about 4 years from now. It's 2023. Before we jump the gun, and I understand timing, expending a lot of money, because $250,000 I consider is a lot of money.
$2 million.
Yeah. OB is 2.5
million.
So
if we have room in other buildings, a.k.a. Stratford Road,
Can I ask a question?
Then why did you vote no to the optional zone? Because that was our opportunity. An optional zone is not an overnight fix. It's going to take a few years.
Because it was optional. Because
you want a forced rezone? Is that what you want? That's what you want to do in a couple of years?
Let me finish. Okay. And please don't put words in my mouth. What I asked, I did not believe in the optional rezone. But if we're really going to be looking at it that way, because I was looking at it more for the immediate fix, not for 2023. But if we're really going to start looking at 23, yes, I would have to suggest that we do look at maybe a forced or rezoning. If our assets are that we have buildings with rooms, that if we keep on going $2 million here, the pockets are not bottomless. So I don't have a problem looking for.
But we already had this discussion, and again, if I remember the discussion correctly, most of the board really didn't have an appetite for a forced rezone. One of those of us that were for the optional zone were hoping that slowly over the next couple of years we could solve the problem without spending any money and get to where we needed to be ahead of time.
That was a theory.
Yes, but.
But it wouldn't happen without.
It's not going to happen without the optional zone. So
let's just see.
I'm curious if you're concerned about the expenditure. I'm curious why you voted no to the optional zone.
Because I didn't think it solved the problem for the immediate. You're asking my opinion, so I'm giving you my opinion. You don't have to agree with it, but that was my opinion.
So you'd rather kick the can down the road and do a forced rezone? that's what you would prefer to – I'm just trying to clarify here because I'll open the discussion back up. If you're open again now to the optional zone
– No,
we're not going
to
open up the discussion tonight.
And
we are not going to spread rumors out there tomorrow morning that there is going to be redistricting. And the other thing is that we did discuss, though, is not one elementary building should be so huge compared to others that – people want their smaller schools. They don't want every time there's 30 kids extra, 20 kids extra, everybody's going into Stratford Road. That was not the intent of what we were talking about. So this is not the night we're going to have the discussion. It was a question that a board member asked to find out financially what would it cost if we had to add on two rooms to Pasadena. And so if we get that information and if it's...
To say let's earmark like we did... the cost of each room or two rooms without specific
building,
without identifying specific, right? Because when we've done this in the past, we've done that, right?
Fine.
So
it's 2.5 for Old Bay Beach. By the time you do it for Pasadena, I would say 2. Conservative.
That's fine. Look,
okay.
And the conversation is about, I think, to Debbie's point, making sure that we have the staffing, the facilities
and
to
the
make sure the delivery of programs and services are equitable among the buildings. That's it.
Okay.
But I also do want to agree with Ginger that I am not comfortable. Where you, the Delta, didn't matter between Matlin and POB, it does matter to me. So I'm not comfortable making Stratford Road a mega school and the other schools smaller. I just want to go on record.
Does it work? That does not. Okay. Now that we had our hiccup.
Okay, so just a quick summary. These tallies are just driven by student requests and enrollment, and it does maintain class size, address equitable services, and add to the level of services and programs being provided under the tax levy. And I think if you have any more questions.
Any other questions?
I hesitated. Did you notice?
We have public participation.
Oh, go ahead.
Oh, sure. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Lauren.
Okay. So I just wanted to know, I had mentioned it at the last board meeting, about getting a dollar amount for a possible 10th period bus. Okay.
Remember, we're just getting the bids on the buses, but we are.
Right. Okay. So I just wanted that on record. Okay. And I'm sure when we go away this weekend, we'll be coming back with other.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
I know. So great timing.
No, you can't. That doesn't work that way.
Okay. I think that's it for now.
I'm just
going around.
You
mentioned everything else.
Susan, any questions? Debbie? Jody? Lauren? Seth? Thank you very much.
Okay, so the start of the modifications, I to understand we're putting two FTEs,
mm-hmm.
two?
Oh, two, well, and maybe three,
possibly,
because you're talking
three.
About...
Put three,
yeah,
and then we'll... Can,
all right, so we're going to...
We can modify and then unmodify.
Yes, we're good at that.
And the 10th period bus, we don't have a dollar, but let's put it on the sheet. Once we get the dollars, so we have a place to hold it.
And you're going to let us know
is that
about a mental
high school
health
only?
Person?
Is athletics.
Middle and high? 10th period? Not 10th period. You're
athletic.
Asking for athletics.
Athletic.
After school.
Right. Athletic.
Yeah. We have 10th period now.
No.
Yes?
Yes.
Yeah.
Never mind.
After athletics.
Did you want to put the mental health person, maybe?
Mental health professional.
Mental health professional.
Just after practice or after away games, too? Because then you'd have to run two sets of buses.
You'd have to run,
right?
Cause
that's
yeah, because they don't get back from the away games till like 6:30. But practices end at 5:30. So the kids who were just practicing, you'd need one bus. And then you'd need a second.
Well, we're going to put it as a placeholder because we're doing the research.
Okay.
But it doesn't necessarily mean we're, you know, we'll give you the information.
Right. Okay. Let's see what it costs.
So we'll put the two FTEs. We'll put the mental health professional. Mm-hmm. But again, I haven't really discussed.
Okay. Any other?
The
space.
Yeah. Additional classrooms?
Two additional.
Two additional classrooms. And E&L. No, the three FTE breakage would be E&L.
Right.
And two. Yeah, so that would take care of that. And two additional classrooms. That's a biggie. So are you thinking capital reserve?
I was just going to say, could we use capital reserve for that?
Right.
Why don't you come back
to us and share with us the different options?
So Barbara, if we did that, if we were to do that capital reserve, we would have to change our proposition.
But there's still time to do that, right? I mean, we could still modify it.
Right.
That's fine. So, and right now, again, going back to the earlier presentation, there is currently, of the $12 million that was put in, $2.9
million
that remains.
And also...
And any additional funds for this year.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but I'm saying of the $12 million that has already been put into the reserve,
right,
there's still 2.9 that has yet to be expended,
correct,
or earmarked to be expended.
And, correct.
And up to, right.
Be able to, we still right. have another
no, like
13 million to put in.
About 13 million.
Yeah. But if not one of that, if not one penny gets put in, there's still 2.9 million
right.
of the capital reserve. Right.
So we could do that.
Okay.
But I'm never like, okay. Okay.
All right.
Take a
so
deep
that's
breath.
A big conversation.
Yeah, that's okay.
Of mine that's a worthy
that.
Conversation.
Yes, I thought very good. Okay. So you're worried we were going to find these little
some
tiny things to put in. We
no,
just go for the
I
big
never
bucks
worry
right away.
About this board spending money.
Well,
board
you worry
kids.
About it the other way. Yes.
I never do.
Okay.
I worry.
He's getting ready to stand up already.
Really, it is thinking ahead and thinking
for Jacques, though, if you, I know that you look at our agenda, so you must be happy to see on the business, the financial side, a lot of items that are a deduction in the amount that is being attached.
You should tell you what the email question from Sunday was, what his real interest is.
Okay.
15 ready? Laptops.
Right. Okay.
Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, we're now going to public participation. District policy number 1510.1 provides that persons wishing to make comments or raise questions shall 1, state their name and address, and 2, indicate on whose behalf they are speaking if a non-resident. The policy prohibits public discussion on matters relating to staff and students at which their reputation, privacy, or rights to due process or those of others could be in some way violated. As a reminder, an audio recording of this meeting, including public participation, is being made and will be posted on the district's website. Remarks are limited to 3 minutes. Ladies and gentlemen, the floor is open. Please come up to the microphone. Please state your name and address.
Good evening. My name is Patty Marshall, and my kids didn't graduate from Plainview, but I've only been here about 5 years. My issue is I live on 152 Central Park Road, and for the last month, I've been hearing some strange pinging, and I was going through my house thinking I had some smoke detector that the battery needs to be changed or, you know, carbon monoxide or some electronics my son had, and I come to find out that it was the tones from Plainview or Bethpage Middle School. And I hear them, it's like under my house, not like background noise. And then I hear announcements. Years ago, it was just when there was a fire drill, but it was like all day long. So I'm like, what? And then I realized, my son said, Mom, he was outside fixing his car, it's the middle school. So every day when the classroom changes and all the tones go off, I hear it in my house all day long. So I had called them and they said, well, it's a new system. You know, when the people are outside, the kids are outside, it tells them they can come in, obviously between classes, but it's really disruptive. It's all day. It's all day, every day. And so I don't want to say just a stop, but can't they just, whoever the teachers are out there, if they can get a notice on their cell phones or a different way so that...
Does your neighbor have the same issue?
Well, I don't know. They're not home, and my other neighbor was away for, I don't know. I'm not from here, so I know a bunch of neighbors. I don't really know people, so I don't go and asking anybody.
Good question.
It could be a matter of residence. It's the, you know, something in your house is in.
Oh Oh, no, I called the school. They said they have a new system.
Right, so I'm just wondering if there's, it's like something
up.
is in sync with our frequency. So
it
might be that we have to change our frequency to address
it.
If your neighbors are not experiencing that, then it's a matter of our frequency being resonant to yours.
I don't know what they're experiencing.
We can
I only
take a
know
look at
from
yeah.
my own experience that it's annoying.
Well, take a look.
I hear it outside
not all
now
the
that
time,
I know
though.
What
Dr.
it is.
Dr. Lewis, we do have
but
a new exterior speaker
it.
System. We'll look into it and adjust.
Right.
When
okay.
I had call initially, they
the
didn't turn off the announcement system off, and now they're doing
if
that,
you give
but the tones.
Your phone number
we'll check into it. Thank you for bringing it up.
Sure. And just 152.
Central Park Road.
And just really quickly, I don't want to get too involved in your building, even though I'm a taxpayer. But I'm from Half Hollow Hills, and we had 7 elementary schools. We built on 1 elementary school. We did my kids
right.
graduate. Lots and lots and lots of stuff. To date, we've closed 2 elementary schools.
Right.
And my sister-in-law's in Lindenhurst. They've closed another elementary school. So to build on a school, I'm with you. Rezoning is extremely painful for the board because the parents... The entire parents of these communities, God forbid, their kid goes to, you know, like it's there for, it's like 50 years of elementary school and the kids don't want to move. But it really is, to spend millions and millions of dollars on a 2 classrooms is ridiculous. And I've been through it.
Okay, thank you.
That's, yeah. They should have a music room or whatever. But I know redistricting is really painful for the board. They gave the Dix Hills board a really hard time. But
we needed you a few months ago.
Yeah, but, you know, it's really hard to study population growth. It's really, we had a
we
really
did.
Big influx.
We did.
And yeah. our special ed program in Dix Hills is phenomenal as well. And they're moving in for that specifically. But
thank you.
My
thank
3
you.
Cents in. And we have a good robotics program, which my son was in. And
what's the we? You're here now.
Well, my kids graduated.
We is POB
and
now.
And we have a phenomenal robotics.
And
yes,
we,
I'm familiar because I was a mentor for the robotic, the Half Hollow Hills team, so I know you're. It's a good team.
Thank you for hearing me.
Mr. Wolfner. She comes months later. Isn't that something? So
Jack Wolfner, 151 Sutton Drive in Plainview. I have to just echo Susan's comments about the increase in ratables because now that not only are we getting certificates of occupancy in the Beechwood residences, but we have a lot of small houses, ranches, which are being upgraded. And so I think the entire taxable pie is increasing, which means that hopefully each taxpayer's school taxes will go down, though I don't believe that's going to really happen. The other thing is on the budget. Looking at the budget, it shows actuals from 2017 and 18, then the adopted budget, and then the proposed budget. It seems like we are going from budget to budget, and one of my pet peeves is we should be going from actuals to the budget, and I'm pretty sure that Mr. Cunningham has the actuals from for the last 10 years at least. He has already considered that in making the budget, though it doesn't appear on these budget sheets. Thank you.
Thanks, Jack.
Doc, I want you to know that when I meet with all the budget managers, we do actual to budget, and we drill them on the fact. Believe me, it's not a pretty sight, because what we look at is, well, it is now December, and you have spent X amount, are you thinking that you're going to spend more between December and May? And it is on that number that we set our budget.
Thank you for that.
Thank you. Hi. Elisa Rosenberg, 113 Knickerbocker Road. On the staffing report from tonight, or the, the staffing and tallies report, I noticed the middle school, the current seventh grade at POB Middle School, is projected to lose two students, and it's going down a section because of that. Two students is kind of an iffy number. I don't know if the cutoff is at 200 to go from 201 to 199 or what it is for the sections, but if we don't lose two students and we actually gain a student, any of that could happen over the summer easily. I just want to make sure that's being monitored. Both first, if you look on this report, this specific slide.
Right, I have it, yeah.
Seventh grade currently at POB Middle School is at 201 with nine sections. Right. And it's projected if you go down to the eighth grade for next year, 199 with eight sections. So it's going to lose two students and go to one less section. So I'm just curious if someone's monitoring that and there will be a plan in place in case over the summer they don't go down those two students, because we already have space issues at POB Middle School, so both staffing and space.
We'll monitor it. You do realize that the class size is 25, 24 and 25 with the eight sections.
Yes.
So we can go up more than 25 in the eighth grade. And also in the eighth grade, you have earth science and eighth grade science. You have algebra. There are lots of – that does not get affected by the eight sections.
So the reason
so you might have more than eight sections of math. This is for English and social studies.
Oh.
Right. So it's a different – the eighth grade is a different animal when you do
so
the staffing.
It's because of the difference between seventh and eighth grade.
So you might end up with nine sections of mathematics or 10 sections because it's now broken out in different – in various subjects.
Okay.
But the English and social science. So it's a little different, but not to worry. We are – you know, we monitor those class sizes.
Thank you.
But thank you for pointing that out.
Any other questions?
Yeah. Right.
Public participation is now over. As we go into routine business, yes. Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
It's a different animal, though.
Sorry about that. Gotta be quick.
Sorry about that. Hi, my name's Georgia Protan. I'm corresponding secretary for POBMS PTA. Mm-hmm. Just had a couple of questions.
Could you just get closer to the microphone?
Sure. You mentioned improvements to POBMS. We do want to request some additional details about the repurposing of instructional spaces.
Okay, that question came up last week, and I would say the PTA should be working with their principal who has very detailed plans, which we covered publicly. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to ask that the PTA works with the building principal to review all the plans for the building.
Okay. If mm-hmm. for some reason we do have additional questions after speaking
Absolutely.
With her.
Absolutely. Bring it to us.
We're able to bring it up
right.
at the next
meeting. Yeah. And also, when I meet with you as a PTA, that's also another avenue for you to discuss. We're always open to discussing with our PTAs. But I think to have a very detailed understanding, a walk through the building with the principal to understand what all the spaces are and what the timetables are, that's a building communication.
Okay, we'll make sure. And one more question. Details regarding changes to the library and media center.
Same building level.
We just authorized the expenditure, the planning and everything.
But she has the details.
Work with your principal.
Okay.
And then if you have questions, speak to Dr. Lewis.
Okay, we'll make sure to do that. Thank you.
Welcome.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
Anyone else? You sure?
Oh, I'm positive.
Ladies and gentlemen, public participation is now over. May I have a motion on routine business with a hold on 7.4 and 7.5? All in favor of routine business? So moved. Would you like to? We have wonderful news. Yeah. Okay. Oh, I'm sorry. She was paying attention. Okay.
Vince? By action of the Board of Education this evening, they have appointed a new director of pupil personnel services, Ms. Dolores Espinoza. Beginning the job July 1st. And standing next to her is Miss Ellie Becker, who will be retiring the day before Dolores takes that position. So congratulations.
You want to introduce your family? Because they're never going to see you again. Take a picture.
And she has her staff here.
And a bunch of staff.
That was for you, Mr. Garcia.
Thank you. May I have a moment to welcome you on board, Dolores. You've, and Ellie, we want to thank you for paving the way for such great administrators. And we have her other two assistants. The problem will be to find someone to fill your shoes, Dolores, because we believe that we have found someone who will
maybe
somewhat
Ellie's
fit into Ellie's shoes. Okay, you did a great. You're going to be great.
May I have a motion to enter in?
Oh, I'm sorry.
You said that there was no.
We have no. That's it. 11.2. Oh, I'm sorry. Yes. 11.2. Is that what we're doing? Nassau Community College Partnership Remedial Workshops. Debbie, second Susan. Any discussion? All in favor? So moved. May I have a motion to adjourn into executive session for reason of negotiations and real estate? Debbie, second Susan, all in favor? So moved. Have a nice weekend, everyone.
Weekend's coming.